Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So, April has passed. April showers.
Bring May flowers,
right?
Yes.
Unless the deer eat them. Anybody see my last video?
Yeah.
So, be careful. You never know where those flowers might spring up. You obviously didn't see the video I'm talking about.
The one with the flowers.
Oh, you did? Okay. So it wasn't meant to tie into this, but it does. So we're just going to talk about some gardening. So who here is a gardener or has flowers? Okay.
I have flowers.
So, yeah, I plant stuff and I put fish waste from my fish tanks on them, and that's what I know about growing stuff. That usually does pretty good, yeah. So if you're into gardening, you know a little bit about kind of like farming, mm-hmm. on putting a seed in the ground and tending to it, right? Mm-hmm. So what's the most important thing if you want to grow a flower or fruit or something like that?
Water.
Good soil.
Take care of it.
Water, good soil.
Nurture it.
The seed?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, you couldn't plant...
And the plant.
You couldn't plant a watermelon seed and expect to get green beans, right?
No.
Right. So.
What you plant is what you get.
What you plant is what you get.
You plant dandelions, they come up all over.
You don't even have to plant those, right?
Really?
Those are the best things that grow for me, are things I don't even have to plant. They just grow.
Yeah, not only are they delicious, they're nutritious.
Dandelions?
Mm-hmm.
I can say I've never eaten a dandelion. I was very allergic to them as a child, though.
Really?
Yeah.
The flower or the leaf?
I don't know if I got anywhere near them. My eyes would itch.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not participating in that anymore.
That means you need to...
I was toxic? All right, so we're going to talk a little bit about gardening and seeds today, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, Father, in Jesus' name, you have a message prepared.
Yes.
Lord, you've already prepared our hearts for this message.
Yes.
We open our hearts to you to hear what you have to say.
Yes.
About healing, about seeds of healing. Father, we love you. We thank you so much that you've included healing in our salvation.
Yes.
Divine health. That you're such a good, good daddy.
Good.
Lord, we come to you expecting to receive. And we thank you in Jesus' name. All right. Let's go to Luke chapter 8. And this is a parable that we've all heard many times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Luke chapter 8, starting at verse 4. Luke chapter 8, starting at verse 4. Now, this is a parable of the sower and the seed.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody understand why Jesus spoke in parables?
Most of it related to how they live, mm-hmm. the gardeners, the farmers.
When he used natural things to parallel spiritual things, exactly, yes. But parables were like stories, right? They weren't all that clear.
Right.
Do you understand? Jesus spoke in parables very often because the hungry would hear. Those that weren't spiritually hungry, the message just kind of went right over them, right? God wants us to want his word. So he spoke in parables so that the hungry would seek him out. And then the parables would be made clear. Because that's why many times the disciples had come to him and say, well, what did you mean?
I was just going to say
yeah.
that.
Yeah, what did you mean? I didn't get that.
Obviously, they weren't hungry.
Yeah. They were hungry enough to ask. And they had the ability to, too. So he said, you know, so... Those that hear don't hear, and those who see don't perceive. Meaning that, you know, it's like casting your pearls before swine. You know, it's like those that are hungry are coming that want to hear. When they hear in parables, they'll seek it out. God wants us to get into his word and seek him out. Dig into the word. Don't just read it and pass by, but read it and meditate on it. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you and bring more depth to it. Right? That's that hunger that produces more. So, Luke chapter 8, verse 4. When a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, So from all over the place, right? He went into one place, but from cities all around, they're all traveling to come hear him talk. That shows some hunger right there. He spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed. Some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on a rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked it. But others fell on good ground. It sprang up, yielded a crop 100-fold. Mm-hmm. When he had said these things, he cried out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Mm-hmm. Now, if we jump down to verse 11, he explains it. He says, "Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God." So, I want you to understand, it's not just the seed of salvation we're talking about, right? But the Word of God. Every Word of God is a seed. All that's spoken in the Bible is a seed. Jesus is the Word, right?
Right.
He was a seed that had to die to produce many. There's a lot of parallels here. But the seed is the Word of God. Those by the wayside are those who hear. The devil comes and takes away the word in their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked by the cares of riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with noble and good heart, kept it and bear fruit with patience. So soil is pretty important, huh? Those with a good and noble heart. We are the soil. The word of God is the seed, and we are the soil. Now you notice all the different types of soil here and what was produced with it. So, the title of this is The Healing Seed. This is healing class, so that's what we're going to talk about, right?
Mm-hmm.
The healing seed. So, the Word of God is a seed. That's every Word of God is a seed that needs to be planted into our soil to produce crop.
The soil of our heart.
The soil of our heart,
yeah.
Right? When we take in the Word of God and we tend that Word, that seed will produce. But the opposite is true, that the word of the world are seeds also.
Mm-hmm.
But they're weed seeds, right? So what I mean by when I say the word of the world is also a seed. Any examples come to mind, Jackie?
The news.
The news has a lot of seeds for sure.
Yeah.
Carol?
No, I was going to say the news, but yeah. Really anything.
The propaganda?
Propaganda.
Yeah.
Lies.
So, a good example of a seed from the world would be, it's flu season. Do you have your flu shot? Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a seed. Now, there is no time, there is no season where God's word is not true. For the believer, salvation included healing and divine health and so forth, right? So, the world's view, the world's word, the world's seed is, this is flu season. Do you have your flu shot?
Mm-hmm.
The word says there is no season for the believer where God's word is not true. So they're both seeds, right?
Yeah.
So what are you growing? Are you planting weeds in your seed, around your seed that you've already planted? Like you're planting the word of God in you too, but are you planting weed seeds also? You know, are we taking in these words of the world also? Because what do weeds do to good plants?
Choke them out.
They choke them out, right? Weeds, when they're around your good plants that you want to grow, take all the nutrition from the soil that's meant to go to the plant that you want to grow. It's being wasted on the weed.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to get as good a harvest, right?
Mm-hmm.
You may get a harvest, but it's not going to be that good a harvest, right? It's not going to be that 100-fold harvest, right? So it's important that we're careful about what seeds are being planted in our heart. Even if you're planting the right seeds, are you allowing somebody to come in and sow weeds at the same time? See, every seed bears the nature of its source. Every seed bears the nature of its source. Like we were saying a minute ago, you can't plant watermelon and expect to get green beans, right? You can't plant weeds and expect to get fruit. Romans 8:6 says that to be carnally minded or worldly minded is death. Right? Because the world says it's flu season. Well, flu season is a death thing and it's not a life thing, right? But to be spirit minded or God minded is life and peace. So again, I ask, what seeds are you planting? What seeds are you allowing into your garden of your heart? See, a farmer prepares soil, right? What are some of the ways a farmer prepares soil for his plants? Tills it, loosens it up.
Yeah. Well, makes sure it has the right nutrients.
Fertilizer, nutrients, yep.
Stuff to keep the weeds out.
Stuff, Roundup?
Yeah. Oh, no.
No. Okay. But there's a job there, right? Mm-hmm. It needs to be tended. Mm-hmm. You prepare. If you're going to plant, you have to prepare. You till up the soil. You fertilize. You take care of that seed. Mm-hmm. The seed contains life, right?
Yes.
Everything that's needed for that plant is already in the seed. It's there. But it could sit on a table forever and never do anything, right?
Right.
Sort of like if your Bible, if your Bible is just a bookmark, a placemat on your table, it's never going to do anything for you, right?
Right.
It needs to be planted. The seed has to go into the ground and draw nutrients from the ground around it to spring forth life. Likewise, the word needs to be planted, absorbed, tended. And listen, once you plant something, what else is needed before you start seeing fruit come by, right? I mean, there's going to be water and all that stuff, right? But before a plant goes from a seed in the ground to coming up and producing fruit, what has to happen first?
It has to germinate.
Something under the ground, right?
Mm-hmm.
Roots.
Yeah.
Listen, if an oak tree was to spring up in a year, it would fall right over, right? Mm-hmm. There's usually 3 to 4 times more growth underneath before you see anything on top.
Mm-hmm.
Roots are important. If you go and you dig up a seed every day to see what's happening, I don't see anything. I'm going to dig it up and see what's going on. What's going to happen? It's never going to grow, right?
Yeah.
Likewise, if you plant a seed of God's word in your heart, and every day you go digging it up with doubt because you haven't seen the manifestation yet, it's like digging it up all the time, right? You keep going back to whatever the problem is or whatever the situation is instead of feeding faith-filled words and meditating on that seed, not allowing other thoughts and other things to come in to counter that growth so that the roots can go down nice and strong and deep, right? See, when you were born again, there was a seed of salvation sown in your heart, wasn't there? You had heard the gospel. Somebody had sown a seed about Jesus in your heart. Maybe it didn't do anything right away, but it was planted. Then, in time, it began to produce fruit. And when it was fully ripe, you heard God's voice. Right? You heard God call you and say, I want to give you my life for yours. Because you allowed it to ripen. in time. You heard his voice. See, this is what we do when we plant the Word of God in our hearts. We plant it, we nurture it, we tend it, and we hear God's voice speaking through that thing. And when God's voice speaks directly to you, say, for instance, healing. You've planted some seeds from God's Word about healing in your heart, and you've tended it. You've meditated on it. Now, you don't always immediately hear some sort of revelation about it, but as you meditate on it, right, something happens. You get what's called a rhema word, not just the logos, which is the written word, but God speaks a direct word to you through that verse about healing, and that's where faith is ignited. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. That word, hearing, or by the word, and that faith comes by hearing the word, is rhema. It's the spoken word to your heart. God speaks to your heart about it. Faith is ignited. And you receive healing. You've already received the healing, but you get manifestation. So there's a time to sow and reap, right? Very rarely do we plant a seed and just see it pop up overnight. See, many times I believe it works a little different between like the non-believer and the believer. See, healing can be the dinner bell for a non-believer. It seems like sometimes non-believers can get healed really easy, and people that have been in church for years are struggling with something. Because sometimes God uses that healing as a dinner bell to draw them near. But if we're already Christians, right, we're already Christ followers, then we should be disciples. And we should be in the Word all the time, planting the seeds, tending the seeds. It's a process of getting to know Him. See, if we were just like babies, always running to Him, say, you know, fix me, fix me, fix me, but I'm not willing to put in some time to get to know Him, will I ever grow? Now, I'm not saying it's always like that. There's going to be times when the world happens, right? I mean, we live in a fallen world and things happen and we can't explain it. They just happen. We get injured, we get sick, and God can and does often heal things immediately, even for the believer. I'm not saying He doesn't do that, because He does. Okay? Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But did you have something to add?
I just remember where I asked one of the mothers at my old church. I think I was teaching on a class similar to this or something. But anyway, I said, why do you think, and I asked them all, why do you think it's so easy for a non-believer to get healed sometime as opposed to a believer? And she said, because the believer, 9 chances out of 10, has insurance. And I said, wow. Doctor's insurance, you know, they have more faith in that than they do in the Word. And I'm like, wow.
And a lot of times it's just we don't want to do the work of sowing the Word into us, right? See, but there's the difference between being a believer or a disciple. See, God's best for us is to be always feeding on the Word, because that's spending time with God. That's your personal relationship with Him that produces divine health. We shouldn't have to run from needing a miracle all the time. We should just steady in divine health would be the better, living in the blessing, right? Yeah. Instead of in need.
When you're speaking the Word over yourself constantly, staying in that secret place, that's like you got a constant force field around you, keeping sickness and the enemy out. But yeah, if you back off for a while and slack, then that creates openings.
Moses spent a lot of time with God, right? Real close personal time with God. And he was 120 years old at his death.
And his natural forces were not abated.
His eyes were not dim, right? I mean, Moses didn't die because he was old and decrepit. He was done. It was time to go home. And he climbed a mountain. Right? So he had to be pretty healthy to climb that mountain.
And old age, too.
And this was before the cross. Being in God's presence produces health to our bodies and our bones. Mm-hmm. Spending time in His Word, loving on Him. You know, my time in the morning in the Word is so important to me that even on mornings like this, when I had meetings at 8:30 in the morning, I get up extra early so I can spend time in the Word first, because I don't even want breakfast before I feed spiritually. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I am excited to get up and spend time with my daddy and read His Word, because it's life to my body. It's life to my bones and my health. It's the difference, like I say, between being a disciple and just a believer. So we need to water the Word with faith-filled words, right? Isaiah 54:17 says, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper, but every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn." Mm-hmm. What is that saying?
We need to speak.
We need to open our mouths and speak, right? When you hear it's flu season, I don't care if it's even on the TV set, do you just listen to that and leave it go?
Nope.
That's not tending your garden, is it? Mm-hmm. There's a weed just got, that's a weed seed that just got planted in you. Mm-hmm. You need to open your mouth and say, there is no season, the Word of God is not true. Now, we feel weird about that, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes we do, because people think you're weird because you're just talking, right? That's what the devil wants you to feel like. The devil wants you to feel like it's weird to open your mouth and say something like that, because he knows how powerful it is. You need to uproot those weed seeds before they have a chance to germinate. When something is sown, a weed, towards your faith, you need to open your mouth and condemn it. God's not going to do it for you. You are the gardener of your heart. You have to condemn those words. You can't allow those to be sown into your heart. And God created the entire universe with words. They are so powerful. Do we understand how powerful our words are? Sometimes I catch myself doing it, joking around and saying things. We need to be careful.
So what do you do in an instance like that when you do that?
If I notice myself doing that, mm-hmm. then I need to be like, that was stupid. I condemn the word that I just spoke. Mm-hmm. You know? Sometimes I hear Kitty say something negative, usually about herself, you know? And I'll say, babe, don't say things like that. I don't receive that for you, you know? We need to be careful, the words that we say, because we're sowing seeds.
Thank you.
Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Mm-hmm. How do we get the power working in us?
By getting the word in us and speaking it over us.
By getting the word in us. See, we need to take the word in for God to work that word in us. He's saying, listen, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above the seeds that you plant in there. They can have stuff in them that you didn't even know, but you got to plant it. If you haven't planted it in your heart, how's God going to work with it to bring it about? Yes, He does miracles sometimes. Yes, He saves us from our own ignorance sometimes and our own mistakes. But that's not God's best for us. He wants us to seek Him out. So, let's do a little bit of gardening today. Does everyone got something to write with? I hope you do. If not, you can see me afterwards and I can give you... We're gonna sow some seeds of healing today. Does that sound good to everybody?
Sounds great.
So we've talked about it. And do we all understand how important it is to sow the word into our hearts?
Yes.
So if we know how important it is, now we need to know what seeds to plant, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go through a list here. I don't even know if I have time to give you them all. And these are definitely not an exhaustive list. But it gives you some seeds to work with. And you need to seek out more for yourself also. Plant these in your heart. Allow God to work with them. How do we water the seed once we planted it?
By speaking over it.
Speak over it. Meditating on it. Mm-hmm. Right? We don't just read it. I'm good. It's planted. Meditate on that word. You know, I can tell you, there was one time I picked one verse in Romans, and I meditated on that one verse for a month. I didn't read anything else for a whole month. And God gave me stuff new every single day with that one verse for an entire month. Wow. The word is, there's no end to God's word. It's alive. Mm-hmm. And you'll never plumb the entire depths of the world in this lifetime. It's so rich. Meditating on the word, speaking the word. And then when God brings you a word directly to you and your circumstance through that word, wow, it's so powerful. So powerful. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. I wanted to start with this one because this one just is pretty much a cover everything. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Actually, we could spend a whole class just on this verse, but we're not going to. Verse 3, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How many things?
All.
Pertaining to life and godliness. All things pertaining to life. Would that include healing?
Yes, everything.
Do you need healing?
Yes. Yeah.
Divine health?
Yes.
Well, that covers it then, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. All things. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. How do we gain knowledge of him?
Through his word.
Through his word, spending time with him, right? Mm-hmm. Those seeds. Who is the word?
Jesus is the word.
Didn't it say Jesus is the word?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
When you read the whole Bible, what are you reading?
Jesus.
Jesus.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Right? Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing.
So how best could you get to know God? Mm-hmm. By knowing Jesus. And what is Jesus? He's every word of your Bible. Okay, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Boy, time is really flying on me here.
10 after 5.
If I go by that, we're late. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions and was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are
healed.
The word for griefs in the Hebrew is choli, which means sickness. Surely he has borne our sickness. The word for sorrows in the Hebrew is makab, M-A-K-O-B, which means pain. So this applies both physically and mentally, okay? He bore all our sickness and pain on the cross. The word for healed is raph, which means to heal, to mend, to cure, to make whole. So Jesus bore all our sickness and pain on the cross. And I have a story for this one. Maybe some of you have heard it. Maybe you haven't. But I'm going to tell it again because it's a good one. So we had a really slow period at work. And it could have been around that whole 2008 thing. I don't remember. But things got really slow for a while. We really got behind on finances and stuff like that. And I was praying about it. And I had a word from God. He said, you're going to be busy this next week. And you're going to get all caught up. So I'm excited. Because I heard from God about the situation. We're going to be busy. And we're going to get caught up. So I was sitting at work early the beginning of the week. And at lunchtime, I was going to have an apple, and I thought it would be really smart to, I like to cut slices of the apple off and eat it instead of just, you know, stuffing that thing in your face. And so I was using a razor knife to cut slices of the apple. Let me just say, using a razor knife, something that sharp to cut slices of apple is probably not a good idea. Yeah. All right, so I'm holding the apple, and I cut off this slice of apple, and that razor knife, man, it went through an apple like you would not believe. It was like butter. I mean, it sliced right through there, but it also sliced right through my thumb. I mean, have you ever seen what they do to shrimp, how they slice it open and it kind of Well, that's kind of how my thumb was. I was like, oh, you know, like, whoa. So I grabbed a bunch of paper towel and I grabbed it and I'm like, oh, that's bad. Oh, that's bad. Oh, that was stupid. And immediately I thought, Jesus bore all my pain and sickness on the cross. And I thought, because I heard a teaching, so I think it was from Joyce Meyer, that she said, many times we're just not willing to put in the time it takes to believe God's word. And we run to a doctor or whatever else. Like, get up in the morning and you feel stiff and you don't want to move. Instead of just getting up and saying, no, I'm healed, I'm healthy. So I grabbed that thing, paper towel, and I just said, Jesus bore all my pain and my sickness on the cross. By his stripes, I am healed. And I said it over and over and over. Remember, I already had a word. Because I'm thinking, stitches, this hand, no way it's going to be able to work this week. But I already had a word from God that I was going to be busy and get caught up. This went against the word that God gave me. So I said, you know what? I'm not giving up. I just said it over and over and over. I did that for about 10 minutes or so. And I took the paper towel off. It was still just nasty. It was bad. And I'm like, okay, I'm just not giving up on this thing. And I said over and over and over, I spoke the word over it. Jesus bore all my sickness and pain on the cross, and by his stripes, I am healed. I did that for about 45 minutes. And I took the paper towel away. There was a thin white line across my thumb. Thin white line was all that was left.
Thank you, Jesus.
And guess what? Wasn't sore. I worked that week, and I got caught up. Exactly what God said was going to happen is what happened. But did the devil try to come against it through my stupidity? Yes. Are you willing to let the devil get away with something? If you have a word from God, then you have a better authority that spoke to you. Take your stand. Speak the word over it. Believe what God said, not what the world or the devil says. And don't give up. 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24. I love this one too. He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Right there, right? Were is a big word there, right? Means it's already done. Past tense, it's already done. See, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that he became sin for us, that we become the righteousness of God in Christ. There's that connection between forgiveness and healing. If you want more on that, listen to the podcast from last week, because that's what we did last week. So we're not going to go in too deep into that, but Jesus became sin. He didn't just forgive our sins. When he went to the cross, he became sin. Sin was the enemy that was on the cross. Not you and I, but the sins that we commit. Because sin is what was destroying God's people, that was destroying the people God loved, which is everybody. Sin was the enemy on the cross. Jesus became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. See, when you know you're forgiven, it's easier to receive. That's such a good daddy. It's so much easier to receive from a good, good daddy who loves you so much that he doesn't hold your sin against you than a judge that you're always expecting to be mad at you because you haven't been perfect. Amen. He cares for you. He loves you. He wants for you to receive healing. It glorifies him when you walk in health and are healed. But because he became sin for us, we can be like him. 1 John 4:17 says that as he is, so are we in this world. Is Jesus sick? No. And we are like him. And I know the context is he's talking about that how the Father loves and loved Jesus, that we are as well. But it goes much deeper than that. It also means that as he is physically, because we are the body of Christ, right? Psalm 91. Now, you guys can just write these down, and you don't have to try to look them all up right now. Probably be quicker. Psalm 91, 9 and 10, and 14 and 16. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High God, your dwelling place. Did it just say, because you visit God every now and then? Because you thought about God last week? Because you've heard about him? You make him your dwelling place. He is the place you dwell daily. Your life is in him. Verse 10 goes on to say, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. This is saying COVID doesn't have a right to have you, right? Yes. Isn't that the truth? Mm-hmm. What about the flu?
Same.
Maybe there's the same thing even. I don't know. But in all seriousness, no plague can come near your dwelling because you make him your habitation. I abide in him daily. His word is more important to me than any other word. Living for him is more important. That's where I live. And because of that, no plague shall come near my dwelling. Mm-hmm. And if you want, verse 16, it says, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So, does anybody know what the word for salvation in Hebrew is? This is awesome. If you don't know, this is going to light you on fire.
Isn't it sozo?
No. In Hebrew, it's Yeshua.
Yeshua.
Okay. Anybody know what Jesus' name is in Hebrew?
Yeshua.
Yeshua. Yeshua. Jesus' name means salvation. Mm-hmm. And if you look into what that means, it's deliverance, welfare, prosperity, victory, health, wholeness. Mm-hmm. Jesus' very name means salvation, which means health, wholeness, victory, prosperity. Yeah. His very name. Boy, when I saw that, I opened up the word one time and I saw, well, I wonder what salvation in Hebrew said. When I saw it said Yeshua, I had to take a couple double looks at it. I'm like, that just tell me his name, salvation is Jesus? How could the Jews have mistaken when they saw everything he was doing? And there's his name even. You know what? They did know. The Pharisees knew. They didn't want to let go of what they had. Mm-hmm. They knew who he was. Wow. John 10:10.
What was the chapter in Psalms?
That was Psalm 91. It's basically 9 through 16. I didn't read the whole thing because we're running short on time. John 10:10, the thief comes not except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. This is my measuring stick for anything that happens in my life. Good, God. Bad, devil. All right? God doesn't bring bad in your life. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came to give you an abundant life. The Greek word for abundant is porosis, which means more, greater, excessive, exceedingly, vehemently. Whew. That's a good life. But the thief, it talks about the word for thief in here is kelptis. So I'm slaughtering some of these words, but anyway. It's making the distinction between a thief that comes through violence. It's not that. It's one that comes through sneakiness. Okay? The thief comes and is sneaky. He tells you, yeah, God heals, but not always. The word works for them, but not you. Right? He's sneaky about it. He doesn't come out right in your face because you know it's him. He's sneaky. One more here. Romans 8:11.
This
Sorry, did you hear that? His only language, his Satan's only language is lying.
Yeah, how do you know if Satan's lying? It's like politicians, their lips are moving.
Amen.
Yeah, he sure is.
Shame on you, Johnny. Romans, there's got to be some good politicians somewhere. I'm sorry.
There is.
There has to be. I haven't seen many, but there is. There has to be. God's doing something.
Yeah.
I know he is. Romans 8:11. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the Holy Spirit dwells in you, right?
Yes.
He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The Holy Spirit brings life to your bodies. We're not meant to grow old and decrepit. Did you hear a few weeks back when I talked about Psalms 103:1-5? The fifth verse talks about, and he satisfies my mouth with good so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. I stand on that verse all the time. I'm not getting older and decrepit. I'm getting younger and healthier and vibrant because he renews my youth like the eagles. Now, an eagle goes through a lot of process. It's painful to get there, and I didn't have to. That's a good thing. I'm not like the eagle. I don't have to go and knock my nose off my face or anything like they had to do. Okay, so let me give you some of these other verses that you can look up. I don't have time to explain them all. Mark 19:17-18. Mark 19:17-18. These signs will follow those who believe in my name, right? Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, nothing deadly will hurt them. That's for believers, not just your pastor or an evangelist, for you. Luke 10:19, he gave you all authority over scorpions and snakes, the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nothing shall hurt you. Psalm 107:20-21. He sent out his word and delivered them from their destruction. Matthew 8:2-3. It's one where the leper came and said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And what did Jesus say? I don't know if I'm in the mood. We never heard Jesus tell somebody no about healing except for one time, and it wasn't really a no, right? The woman, she was a Gentile, and coming to Jesus and said, hey, please heal my daughter. She's possessed with a demon. And he said, I'm here for the children of Israel, and it's not right that I give their food to the dogs. Mm-hmm. He's testing her, right? Mm. And she said, but even the dogs eat from the crumbs of the table. And that's what he was looking for. He said, "You're by your faith, yes." And she was healed. Jesus never turned anybody down. If you're willing, he's always willing. It's always willing. It's God's will. It's part of salvation. It's his name. Remember, we just talked about this. It's his name. Salvation. Exodus 15:26. For I am the Lord who heals you. That's another one that's pretty easy, right? I am the Lord who heals you. And I got to stop. So, plant some seeds. Not just, for sure, if you need healing, yes. But these should be things we do all the time, so we're always walking in his blessing. But plant seeds of healing in you for other people, too. Farmer doesn't just grow food for just himself, right? He can't have it all himself. It's just going to flow through everybody else, too. Plant seeds of healing. Nurture those seeds so that when you come across somebody who needs healing, you have a direct word from God about healing to sow into that person. So you can pray, hear God's voice directly, and pray over their situation for them or command sickness to leave them. Right? Maybe you're going to see an unbeliever. And God wants to use you to use that dinner bell to draw them in. You have to have planted the seeds first. Tend them. Give them time to get deep roots. Don't go digging it up, right? Father, thank you so much for your word. Lord, I pray that the seeds we planted this morning will grow into a deep harvest, and that we go and plant more seeds and tend our seeds and speak against anything that comes against your word, believing only you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.